It's Wrecking Ball Radio.
Shut up and entertain me.
There's no rules. There's no rules.
Holy sh! It's amazing.
I see her sarcasm and nastiness grow.
This is Davin's Den.
Good evening, everybody. You are listening to Davin's Den. Yes, Davin's Den, the show that is better than becoming extinct because stuff is free. You can join our chat room, the Den Pen, by going to davinsden.com and clicking on air. Can't call in tonight. I'm your host, Davin Rosenblatt. In studio, I'm joined by Walt Papelio.
Yo.
And in the beachside location, Joe Curry.
Yes, hello.
Hello, Joe.
Hello, guys.
Pip is out tonight. Kevin Israel was supposed to be in. He's been rescheduled for the 27th due to a snowstorm. That's why Joe's not here due to a snowstorm. Pip's not here because she's lazy. But Walt is here
because I got nothing to do.
Because he's got nothing to do. So we're going to come at you hard with the show. On the show, School of Fools with a teacher and her racist podcast. Comics in the news. Is this the end of comedy on the internet? And Sony apologizes for insensitivity in the Peter Rabbit movie. And we'll play a game we haven't played in almost a year. Bitter on Twitter. Haven't done that one in a while, Joe.
Yeah, okay. Yep. High time.
So we got a full show. So before the show, wasn't on the agenda. But in the world of Trump, there's always stuff on the agenda. And Walt asked me, well, what do you think about Tillerson? I'm like, well, if you guys want to discuss this, I guess we can, since we got two Trump fans here, and it's me by my lonesome, so I'll give Joe a fighting chance.
Go ahead, Joe, you want to go first or me?
No, I think it's a good choice.
What, do you want to tell your side of this, or you want me to go first?
You go first.
All right. He was a bum.
I remember you saying that exactly when Trump said, "I hire all the best people."
Rex Tillerson. Let me just tell you something about Rex Tillerson. He wasn't cutting the mustard. Trump saw right through him and ousted him.
I hire all the best people.
He was part of the swamp that he's been trying to get rid of.
Which he hired.
This is not your everyday president.
This isn't a 24-hour president.
Yes. If he makes a choice and it's no good, like Obama. Obama made a choice and he stuck with him whether he liked him or not. You never knew if he liked him or not because he never got rid of him.
Unlike Trump.
I don't like you.
That's the thing about Trump. Trump hires you on a probationary period. You just don't know it.
I don't like you. Get out. That's
it. The thing about it, Davin, have you ever hired or fired people?
Not 35 in a year.
All right. But you want to know something? If you're trying to, you're getting people that are going from the world of business into the world of politics trying to follow the president's agenda. If the guy is not working out, then you let him go. And unfortunately, it happens all the time in business.
What about the 40 other people that keep on getting let go?
You know what? They're not. It's a transit.
They weren't doing their job.
You never had a president like this coming from business going into politics.
Thank you, Joe.
But he's the best. He's got the best brain.
And that's right. He's doing something nobody else has ever done.
Sip.
Devin, you never hired or fired people before. You interview.
I have, and you might, and it might happen to you again if you keep it up.
But not. But what I'm saying is, in that capacity, the business capacity, you bring in people you feel would be the best for the job. Sometimes it doesn't turn out, especially when you're bringing people from the world of business into the world of politics. It's a totally different world.
Right,
some people make it. Some people don't want to be there. Some people it doesn't work out. And that's what it's going through.
Listen,
Joe,
if we're having this conversation after 2.5 years, there's a problem.
You're wrong, Joe. You're wrong, Joe. In 2.5 years, if the guy can't cut the mustard, he's gone.
Yeah, but I mean, with all the turnover in 2.5 years.
Just do it. It doesn't matter. Here's the thing, Joe.
And what about Cohn? What about Cohn resigning? He was supposedly really good.
He didn't like what the guy was doing, and that was it. You're gone. You don't like it.
Here's the reality. I honestly don't think Tillerson was great. He didn't staff the department. He didn't spend $120 million that he had to fight Russia and everything. Now, I don't know if that's Trump or not. I don't really think Tillerson was doing a good job, so he can go. But I just think it's fucking amusing listening to you two, this type of turnover, and how, yeah, it's fine, it's fine.
But we gave you a reason, and let me tell you.
It doesn't mean it's good.
Yes, it is.
A short story, to tell you the truth, I was at my last day program for just about 10 years, and it got to a point where myself and the owners were not seeing eye to eye. And I got let go, and it was a business standpoint that we just had.
But Joe, did he let 40 of you go in the first year?
He would have.
We would have. A lot of sales staff. We had a lot of sales staff turnaround. And you got to understand.
Sales is different. You can't compare this to sales. This is different. No. First of all.
All right, so we're gonna compare it from a business standpoint to politics. Politics is different. But you have a business person bringing in business people. And business people in politics, some might work. And some might not. That's why you have high turnover. And you've had more turnover like this because you never had a president coming in from business into the political arena before.
First of all, let's stop pretending that Trump is a regular business person.
Can I say something here? Joe, let me say something here.
Yeah.
If he's letting people go because they're not doing the job, right? You see that as
what did he do badly?
I don't know. I don't need to know.
You don't need to know?
No, the guy that was voted in charge needs to know, and he's the only reason. He's the only guy that really needs to know.
No,
but here's the thing.
But the guy that got voted in charge works for us, so we do need to know. We are his boss.
Hey,
that's how this shit works.
He still may do it. He still may tell you why.
He told us why. There was no chemistry.
All right, so there's no
chemistry. He wants somebody who gets along better with. I don't know. You just
asked me for the reason.
But
he told you the reason.
I understand.
Okay, this is the reason. There's no chemistry with him. But think about this, Joe. Think about
like,
this.
Is it like he's dating him?
Think about this. He is letting people go that aren't doing the job. Past presidents, can you imagine that people not doing the job? They were still allowed to do that job.
So let me ask you a question. Let's take your premise.
Yes.
Have you seen Ben Carson testify when he comes before Congress in charge of HUD? Have you seen Ben Carson?
No.
You really need to watch it. Did you know that Ben Carson wants to spend $31,000 on a fucking dinette set when he wants to cut spending for poor people? Did you know that?
No.
There's a guy who's not fucking doing the job. Have you seen Betsy DeVos in her last couple of fucking interviews?
No, but I have seen you foaming from your mouth right now.
I am a little bit. All right. but Betsy DeVos, another one who's not doing the job.
How is your life different right now? Joe, how is your
life
different?
You wanted to talk about
it. It's
a talk show.
Is my life different? I'm getting more of my paycheck every week. I'm watching businesses hire. I'm watching the economic climate turn. I see business confidence.
Oh, that's horrible. Oh, my God, that's horrible.
You know, I see us taking a stronger stand in the world.
Joe, that's horrible.
No, we not.
That's what I see.
No, we're not. We're not taking a stronger stand.
That is so bad.
Tillerson was taking a stronger stand than Trump.
I can't believe we're taking this.
Oh, I should tell you this quote.
They're shutting down all podcasts. What? That's the next thing, Trump.
I should tell you this quote. This is from the Russian version of 60 Minutes.
Go ahead.
This is what they're saying. Take it for what it's worth. This is what they're saying. They said, Tillerson criticizes Russia less than 24 hours later. Trump. This is what they're saying. Trump fires him, quote, Trump is ours. This is what their most popular news program is saying. Now, you could argue if Trump is theirs or not theirs. Forget about that. Forget about whether we think Trump belongs to the Russians or not. Can you imagine if they said this about Obama or Bush or Clinton, any other fucking president? It's just insane.
Obama's going to jail,
so the
bro.
News said that. Was it an opinion show like their Fox News or something?
No, it's their
60 Minutes.
It's their version of 60 Minutes. So it's a hard-hitting show, I guess, as far as...
Tillerson said that whole thing, you know, had something to do with Russia, and then at the press conference, he said that they were not they weren't committing to that. Tillerson spoke before the White House spoke.
No, Tillerson was following our ally in England. England would say.
So we're listening to a show in Russia that actually came out and said the president of the United
I'm just
States
telling you what
is ours.
That's what they said.
That's all bullshit.
We can argue about whether it's bullshit or not.
Yeah.
I just find it troubling that's going out.
I think Putin's playing with everybody.
Putin plays at a different
level.
He's
got puppet strings going on every.
And you think Trump's not one of them?
I don't think it. I don't mean in that way. I don't mean that he's making people do stuff. I think he's making the news ruin this country, and they're going right along.
That's part of the election thing. That's part of all. That's part of the stuff you were posting about Hillary during the campaign.
This country right now, and I put a post up on Facebook the other day, is going into a civil war again. It's going to be left and right, and they're going to separate. And you're going to have your sanctuary states, and you're going to have your regular states, and you're not going to be able to go between the two of them. And you have to choose which one you're going to have to go in, because that's how bad it's getting here. That people can't even be friends on Facebook anymore.
Well, that's
because of this.
Alabama. I like New York.
Yeah, but you'll
Joe,
be...
you got nothing going on here. Go to Alabama.
Listen, I've seen Joe do comedy in Alabama. They throw popcorn at him. You're better off here, Joe.
You had a SWAT team pull up, so shut up.
I was defending your honor.
I thought you were insulting me.
Joe,
what?
Go to Alabama. The comedy clubs in Alabama are the place to be, Joe.
Yeah, Walt's going to open up a fucking one-nighter in Alabama. You should fucking call Tom and see if you can play there.
And Bell's out in the morning.
Listen, I think the country is torn apart, and that's part of what Russia wanted to do.
That's right, and that's what they're doing. And you go on CNN, and they're just tearing them apart. Because you know what? Unless there's a murder, a school shooting, or somebody shooting from the top of a hotel in the casino... The CNN and MSNBC are nothing but bash Donald Trump, find
they're
something
24/7. No. They're reporting the news.
No, they're not.
It's
have
not,
you have
it,
you heard anything? That's the end of Joe.
All right, have himself. You? He went to Alabama.
He said, "Forget this." All right, hello, Joe. Hi, Joe.
Hi.
Stupid.
All right.
We did nothing. I was just sitting in
we figured you left for Alabama.
Have you heard anything on? Have you heard anything on CNN that pertains to the Fusion GPS, the Hillary dossier being paid for by her? Have you heard anything today? It's coming out that Obama hired Fusion GPS to dig up dirt on Mitt Romney, and that's how they're trying to find out and get the proof.
Whoever paid for the dossier is something separate. The thing that we need to know about the dossier is what's true and what's not true. And our intelligence community has verified 80 to 90% of it is true. That's what we need to know.
The intelligence community that came out and said last night that there is no collusion.
That was not the intelligence. That was the Republicans on the intelligence committee. I'm talking about the CIA, the FBI. And these are Trump's people.
Is going down. Tell them.
I'll give you an example. See, you like to say CNN or MSNBC reports bad news for Trump. I don't listen to opinions on those shows, but I will tell you something that Trump did. Whether you agree with his position or not, Trump chastised senators. He had a big meeting, chastised senators for backing down to the NRA, very public, and says, listen, I want to raise the age. I want to raise the age to get guns. I want even tougher background checks. Trump made a whole public spectacle of this. Now, whether you agree with whether he was right or not, that's irrelevant. Trump made a whole production of this, and then he puts forth what he thinks should be done, and there's nothing about the age. See, you don't want to hear it. You don't want to hear it.
Joe, I'm going to ask you one question.
See, you're,
Joe, who's the president?
That's irrelevant. See, well, that's why I don't want to talk politics with you. You're not a serious person.
I am serious.
You're not. By your own admission, you never want.
But think this, Devin, think this out, okay? The NRA met with him, okay? Now, think this out. You want to raise the age,
Joe, forget about whether Trump was right that we should raise the age limit. Forget about that. That's a whole different argument. What I'm saying is, Trump made a whole production of chastising them and saying, "You're afraid of the NRA. I'm not afraid of the NRA."
And then he was afraid of the NRA.
And that's what I'm saying. Then he was afraid, and that gets reported. Forget about whether you think the NRA was right on the issue or Trump's instincts.
What's wrong with that? Besides him being a badass one day and backing down the next day because that was the right thing to do.
He's the president of the United States.
Doesn't matter.
But think about it. So let me get this straight. So if he goes, he made a comment and he didn't meet with the NRA yet. Okay, he meets with the NRA and the NRA puts across their points on the certain factors, and he had a change of heart. He reconsidered his opinion. He wasn't bullied by the NRA. They proved another point.
They paid.
If he was going to stay for a man that sticks to his guns on convictions, okay? He was, you know, I would rather have a guy that's going to, you know, take another point and then take their points and maybe go back on what he said, even though he might look like, you know, he chastised somebody, you know.
Yeah, Joe, that'd be a lot more believable if it was like he just had a change of opinion if the NRA didn't pay him $30 million. All right, I'll give you another one. I'll give you another one. Trump says, gathers all the senators around on DACA. Whatever you guys put in front of me, bipartisan, I'm going to go with. It's on you, bipartisan, let's get it done. We're going to have a bill of love. Looks great doing it. He gets several bipartisan bills, rips them all apart. Now, you can say whether he's right or wrong. The problem is you can't take the man at his word.
They are never doing DACA.
He included a lot more people to be eligible for DACA, and he said in these things that he wants the wall in there, and none of them had the wall in there.
Actually, that's not true. There was funding for the wall in there. There was a lot of funding for the wall.
They're never doing DACA because they're going to use that in the elections in November.
They're going to do DACA. They're going to negotiate.
They ain't doing that.
When he puts stuff out like that, you know, he puts it out as a negotiating point, especially when he put out the tariffs. He put out those tariffs as a negotiating point. He put out his feelings on DACA and the wall as a negotiating point. He's a negotiator. That's
what deal has he cut? What deal has Trump cut?
But in regards to name the deal you have in mind.
I'm asking you a question. I mean, as president, the great hope, even for the people who did not vote for him, even for the people who voted Hillary or a third party, the great hope was, well, he's a negotiator. He's not beholden to anybody. He will be able to bring both sides together. He knows Chuck Schumer well. He'll be able to talk to Republicans. He'll bring together a deal. That was the great hope for Trump. So I ask you, you tell me he's a negotiator. What deal has he negotiated?
Well, the tax cut.
That was strictly Republican. That was what the Republicans wanted. He didn't get any Democrats on it.
So basically, on the table, I want you to ask me that question in about 6 months, okay? Because on
write that down.
With regards to the DACA deal, that DACA deal will be cut, okay? And they're going to have the concessions on that. He wanted the wall at a certain price, and it wasn't on there, and that's why he took it.
Let me tell you something, Joe. In 6 months, honestly, the reality is. They're going to be right in the middle of leading up to an election, and nobody's going to want to cut deals. The Democrats are going to be running hard against them. They're going to say, if it's going to hurt us if we cut a deal with Trump. He has a short window to actually do things.
Well, let me tell you something. The Democrats are in a pickle as well, too. I mean, they're looking at a lot by their party that they're not doing their share as well.
So the Democrats are in a presidential pickle. The Democrats have to put forth some good candidates other than
who?
I'm not Donald Trump.
Who?
I don't know who it's going to be.
One of the guys that were hanging out with Louis Farrakhan and taking pictures?
No. Whatever. No? But as far as Congress and Senate, they're looking pretty good right now. Now, we'll see what happens tonight with the Pittsburgh congressional race. But they're looking pretty good with that. And that's not old Donald Trump. It happens all the time. When a party has all the branches of government, there's usually a backlash against them. They're like checks and balances. Our country likes gridlock. It's not all Donald Trump's fault. But they're probably going to lose the House.
Do you think that the media and the Democrats are being fair with Donald Trump?
I don't know what do you think is unfair. I don't know what you're calling the media and not media. You're talking about like the opinion people?
CNN and MSNBC.
Well, has Donald Trump done, in your eyes, has he done anything good?
Has Donald Trump... I'll tell you what. There have been moments where he has said things like he did with raising the age and not backing down at the NRA.
So yes, the answer is
yes. But hold on. But no, he gives you that glimmer of hope. And again, I don't even know how I feel about the age thing. But he gives you that glimmer of hope. Like, all right, maybe this is the guy. But as far as... actually legislatively doing things? No, I'll give you another example. I mean, maybe it's minor to a lot of people, but I guess we're going to allow imports of ivory from Africa again? And Trump has said he doesn't even want that. Well, it's his fucking department. Trump said he doesn't want that happening, so why doesn't he tell him not to do that shit? So no, I mean, and even with the bombing of Syria, like, I wasn't one way or the other with it. I'm like, okay, this is what it is. I understand why. I didn't get him. What, he warned Russia.
So you're saying he hasn't done anything right? Because if you turn on CNN, they never give him praise for anything.
Well, what I'm asking you is give me something that I could think he did right. Because I'm honestly,
okay.
Give me
do you think the stock market is where it is because of him?
The stock market. That's interesting. I think people like you don't remember where the stock market was when Obama took it over for W.
I'm not asking you what it did
with
Obama.
I'm giving you an answer.
Do you think now?
I'm giving you an answer.
Okay.
I think the stock market performed very well under Obama. I think it's performing very well under Trump. I do think there is a lot of confidence. I do think it's a mistake for any president to hang his hat on the stock market, especially when this guy, Trump, said, I don't care about Goldman Sachs. I'm talking about Main Street. Now, listen, if wages go up, if wages grow because of the tax plan, that's a check mark for Trump. That's a good thing for Trump.
And wages have.
They're not.
You want to look at my paycheck? Yeah, they personally have.
Right, but you also forget that you're going to be paying more in property tax because of where we live. Part of this tax.
True. Your taxes are not over 10 grand.
I'm actually under the cap, but still.
If you had the house you had.
Yeah, but the thing about it, you got to look at it as a whole.
Yeah, but you're also getting a deduction of $24,000 right off the bat.
No, you don't get $24,000.
Yes, you do.
People are adding on. People are getting bonuses because of the tax cut.
Right, and we have our biggest deficit since 2012. So we're going to see what we have to cut. We're going to find out what's going to happen. Because no,
Trump should just go to the people we owe the money to and say, you know that money we owe you? We don't owe you.
No, there's a cut in revenue. We got to see what's going to happen. I think the tax plan. Listen, as far as a political strategy, very good for Donald Trump. As far as what the outcome's going to be, we don't know yet. It's kind of like the healthcare thing. We didn't know everything because it takes a while to get rolling. So I'm undecided on that. Okay. I think politically, over the next few years, it's just going to get better and better for Trump.
Yes.
And we'll see.
And he's going to win again in 2020. Can we talk about something else?
Well, you wanted to talk about this.
What's the first story?
I thought you were going to give me examples of shit I should be happy about.
I don't even care.
Joe, you have an example of shit I should be happy about?
Well, I told you what you should be happy about is the economy is growing. Consumer confidence is growing.
More jobs. More Hispanics have jobs. More African-Americans have jobs.
Again, that was already happening under Obama.
You don't know that.
It was accelerated more since Trump took office.
That's not true. That's not true. He did have a very good month. He did have over 300,000, which is a very good month. But again, he's still behind Obama. But good. I'm happy for it. It's good.
Obama's great. Obama's going to be in jail, by the way. But
Obama's going to be in jail.
He's going to be in jail.
What are you even talking?
This is all going back to everything in Russia is going back to the Obama administration.
Okay.
Mark my words. Anyway.
All right. So last week I told everybody I ordered a bed, and it has been a nightmare.
Where'd you order a bed from?
I'm not going to say the name. Let me ask you
a question. Did you go and actually look at the bed and jump on top of it and sleep on it?
Yeah, Joe, I slept on it. I fucking camped over at the fucking store.
No, stupid. You went to the store and you lied on the thing?
I didn't lie on it. I laid down on it. I didn't fucking tell lies on it.
He's lying right now, Joe.
Down on the bed.
Yes, Joe.
You didn't order it sight unseen like on these internet places.
No.
All right, go ahead.
That's a big part of the story. All right.
It's true. It's a big part of the story.
I fucking told the story last week, but Joe wasn't here for it.
Oh, go ahead. All right, so you bought a bed.
Traffic on the fucking Tappan Zee Bridge or whatever it's called today.
Was it a Cuomo Bridge now?
It's the Cuomo Bridge. It's the crowded bridge is what it should be called.
They're all crowded.
Yeah.
Tell me a fucking bridge that's not crowded around here.
All right, go ahead.
So last week, I told everybody the shenanigans. There was a lot of shenanigans in getting the bed delivered. It was supposed to come on two Tuesdays ago, but they called that day and they said they couldn't come because the delivery truck broke down. They rescheduled for Thursday. They called on Thursday and said they could deliver the bed, but they didn't have the brackets for the headboard. I said, how could that be? Because you had them on Tuesday on the truck when it broke down. Turns out the truck was impounded, so they can't get the merchandise. So their story was, it didn't break down, it was impounded.
Is this fucking thing from the mob?
No, I actually brought this from like one of the bigger places. He just likes to do that. He can do like half a dozen impressions. That's one of them.
Don't be grouchy because you can't get a good night's sleep if you have a fucking bed.
Yeah, let me fucking finish the story.
Get my pillow. It'll make everything better.
I have my pillow. Not a fan.
Yeah, I do.
You like the my pillow?
Yeah.
The wife likes the my pillow.
Yeah.
Overrated.
Maybe I should sleep with her.
My wife?
At the same time, next to each other with the pillow.
Okay. All right. Whatever, Walter. I take it your wife isn't listening tonight?
Who cares?
She's like happy to get rid of you.
Who cares?
All right. So they didn't have the brackets for the bed. They tell me it's impounded. So they reschedule. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. They reschedule for the following Thursday for everything to be delivered. I get a call that the brackets are still not in.
Sorry.
We tell them to deliver the bed on Thursday and they come back this Tuesday to deliver the brackets and install them. They come on Thursday, and we make sure there's plenty of room in the driveway for them to deliver the bed. They tell us to take a picture off the wall so they don't bang into it. We ask about the truck and the impounding. The guy says impounding. Does that sound right to you? So somebody's full of shit.
Right. Somebody lied to you.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, so they don't think they're saying there's no impounding, but they work for the truck company. What do I know? He makes us promise we will not back the bed into the headboard without the brackets. So he takes pictures showing the bed and the headboard. We're not attached. Our bed's in the middle of the bedroom. Everything is delivered, and they come back, and then they're going to come back today to deliver the brackets. 20 minutes after they leave, I go out to my car. Huge scratches across my car. Three panels down to the metal.
You kidding me?
No.
From the bed?
From the bed. From their fucking delivery.
Did you call them?
Walt, I have a fucking story with no end. So they scratched my car. They didn't say anything. I fucking tipped the motherfuckers. Shut up, you.
Should have thrown them a tip. Thrown them a bigger tip.
Apparently. So I call the bed place and tell them what happens. I take pictures, drive over there. They take pictures. They assure me their insurance is going to cover it. They tell me the trucking company will call me. Trucking company calls, and I send them the pictures. They're supposed to follow up on yesterday. They didn't follow up. The bed company calls me. They can't deliver the brackets today because of the storm.
Oh, it's a snowstorm today, right?
Right. So they rescheduled for Friday. I asked them about my car. He tells them they're going to put a rusher on. Meanwhile, I got my fucking bed in the middle of the bedroom, not attached to the headboard, and fucking scratches across three panels of my car.
Nighty night.
And this is, he doesn't want to tell us who this is.
If they don't make right with the
car and the bed,
right,
the brackets.
Right. If they don't make right,
then we're going to town.
Then we're going to town. Yes.
It's got to be Sleepies. It's either Sleep Number or the whatever Sleepies is called now, Sleepwear.
Oh, it's, yeah.
Look at these fucking two super sleuths.
What is Sleepies called now? He went. I'm sure you went right down to Harriman, right in that little plaza there, by BJ's, and he got the little Sleep Number bed. And it's not the Sleep Number; it's the Sleepy. It used to be called Sleepies, and that's what happens. You ever go into one of those stores? There's never anybody in there.
I will refer you to the President's Counsel for further questions.
Joe, get Jay Sekulow on the phone.
Yeah, right.
Is he still part of the team?
Yes. For the foreseeable future, yes.
Oh, so until, by tomorrow, no.
Until he pisses off Trump, and then he's gone, too.
That's the way they announce the staff, both of them. Right.
Don't piss off the president, and you'll stay. That's all.
Cabinet, you feel like a Jets quarterback. I could be
feel like a Jets quarterback. I feel like this is Steinbrenner in the Billy Martin era.
Yeah. Yeah, they didn't have a problem with that when Steinbrenner used to just fire people left and right.
Oh, that sucked. That sucked.
They didn't have a problem. When
he fired everybody, they didn't win.
Yeah. They did. They won in 76, and they fired
Billy
Martin.
He wasn't firing people then.
Yes, he was firing Billy Martin. And
once he started the merry-go-round, like the 80s were like a desert. I mean, the Mets had one championship. Yankees won a lot of games, but there was no wild card.
Do you remember? How old are you?
43.
All right, so you don't remember. He fired Billy Martin, then he hired Billy Martin, then he fired Billy
fired
Martin,
and
then he hired
five
him.
Times. Yeah, right. Five times.
So that wasn't a joke. That was okay.
No, I didn't like it.
No.
And he wasn't running the country. He was just running my fucking baseball team.
Which has probably got the GNP of the country, the Yankees.
What?
They probably got the gross national product of the Yankees. Of the country.
See, it's just unfortunately Stick Michael is fucking dead. Yeah. Otherwise, Trump could hire Stick Michael and everything would be fine.
Until he fucked up and then he'd be fired,
Stick
too.
Stick Michael doesn't get fired. Stick Michael dies on the fucking job.
He got fired as the manager. He was the manager.
Right, but then he got an upper management position and he was the... Trump / Steinbrenner was no longer around. This is what we need. We need Trump to take like 5 months and visit all of his fucking resorts like he does now, but on the weekdays. We need to and let his like fucking government run everything.
Let everything run.
That's what we need to do. They need to, like, Melania needs to forget that she fucking hates him and just like fuck the shit out of him for 5 months. Keep him busy. You know, give him something shiny. Give him a lot of chocolate cake and ice cream.
There's that foam again. There's that foam again.
I gotta tell you, I do have to concede one thing when Trump made the comment, and I made the decision all by myself, and I'm like, who's a big boy?
Yeah, who's a big boy?
Well, you know, he's a very stable genius, so I would expect he did make it by himself.
I believe it, I had to go, okay, who's a big boy?
Just for the record.
People are saying, I don't give myself enough credit. I'm telling you, I don't give myself enough credit. I decided that all by myself.
Yeah. Just for the record.
He is a big boy.
I bought a mattress from that same place that you bought your mattress. That I'm not mentioning. I bought it from the same place, and I got it delivery the same day, the next day, and I got the brackets, and they didn't scratch my car.
I understand. Well, I don't think this is their fucking business model, stupid. I don't.
By the way, give a shout out to John Iveron because he's over here saying he sent me a text saying mattress firm.
Mattress firm now.
All right. Fuck it. Look at you guys angling for fucking jobs in the cabinets.
But do you remember when it used to be Sleepy's and the little Sleepy's guy had a mustache?
I refer all questions to the President's Council. I've spoken at length on this topic for now.
Somebody get Sebastian Gorka on the phone.
No, he's at Fox News right now blowing Steve Doocy.
Oh, I like Steve Doocy.
Of course. Oh, Doocy is so smug.
He's gay. Isn't he? He's somebody's, the guy in the morning, son, right?
No, Peter. Steve Doocy's the father.
Who's the?
Peter Doocy's his son. Nepotism. Okay.
Yeah, whatever.
They look the same.
They do.
What?
When the announcer read, so it's and your host, the guy in the morning sun. Hi, I'm the guy. My dad is on the other show. Hi.
Hi, I got this job because of my dad. He's like, it's like fucking comedy. Fox News is like stand-up comedy. How come they're headlining? You know who their father is?
Yeah, well, they're getting blown by chicks, and Anderson Cooper's getting blown by dudes.
What's your point?
Over on CNN.
What's
There's
your
a
point?
Difference.
You would know.
It's a heterosexual network,
you,
is
you
what
would
I'm
know.
Saying.
Who blows you better, Walt?
Who?
I'm asking, guys or women, who blows you better?
That's to be determined.
You refer to the President's Council?
Joe, what are you doing tomorrow?
I guess angling for a spot at your club.
Joe's a regular at the club.
If Joe blows you, he doesn't have to go through Ingenio.
Joe Blow.
There you go, Joe. Get that regular fucking spot.
All right, what were we talking about? The mattress. Oh, yeah. So what are you going to do?
I'm waiting.
Are you sleeping on the bed?
Yeah. The bed's
just
fine.
On the floor.
No, the bed's here. You just don't have the headboard attached.
Oh, okay.
But so it's got the adjustable feet and the adjustable head. It's a great bed.
Yeah.
And we got a lot of money taken off. We got a great deal.
Because of the whole thing.
What?
Because of what happened?
Well,
or?
we initially worked a great deal, and then more shit has come off because of all the shenanigans. Oh. But at this point, you know, if they don't call me tomorrow, I'm going to call back and go, what the fuck? I want to get the estimate from our car. Yeah,
right.
Exactly. It's bullshit. We're like, well, did you see him do it? No, I came out 20 minutes later in my parking lot. This is all part of my fucking scam.
Right.
To fucking get bed companies to pay for scratches in my car. Well, you got me.
If somebody who used to work at Furniture Dispatch, I can highly assure you they want to get you out of their life as soon as possible.
Yes.
So your brackets will probably be coming soon.
It's not the brackets anymore, Joe. I want my car fixed.
If I were you, I would take a pocket knife and go carve mattress firm into the side of your car.
I am not saying the name of the company presently.
No, you're not. You're not. John Iveron is.
Doesn't he have a fucking headstand he should be fucking working on?
It's got to be like a one-handed headstand or something.
You can see this guy. Does he do this on your stage?
No, he doesn't do it on my stage.
It's very athletic. It makes the rest of us fucking slobs look bad.
Johnny Iveron.
Fucking the rest of us just want to tell jokes. He's a fucking acrobat.
That'll teach you to buy mattresses like that. I guess there's nowhere else to go. Sleep Number? What else is
there? You just said you bought a mattress.
I did.
Okay.
I'm not happy with it. I didn't say
you
I was happy
You don't like
with
your
it.
Mattress?
No, it was one of those where you lay down and they tell you your number from 1 to 5, and then your wife lays down and they tell her number from 1 to 5, and then they pick you a bed that's got like... four on one side and three on the other. If that's
so, it's like two twins that are like fucking.
No. It's a king size bed. One mattress.
It's one mattress,
but it's made half and half with
it's customized.
Different firmnesses on it.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah,
and you don't like it.
I don't like mine.
You want
to? I don't know if I'd really like sleeping anymore.
I got a nice mattress. I got a Baba Pedic. I went to Bob's Furniture, got my new bedroom set, and got myself a nice Baba Pedic. I got my pillow top thing on there. You tie your shoes on that thing, you fall asleep.
Do you have little ruffles at the fucking end of the bed, you fucking fag?
No, there's no shams on there. No, it's a flat platform bed. Sorry, all I need is the mattress. I don't need a box spring.
For people who don't know what a Baba Pedic is, that's a Tempur-Pedic for white trash.
Yes, thank you.
Right. But you just disappeared. Where'd you go?
Who, me?
Yeah, you just dropped off in volume.
I'm right here.
Now you're back.
Oh, he had it on his chin, the phone.
Like where your balls usually are when he's trying to get a gig.
I saw what you did there.
Wow. Yowza.
So they say Toys R Us is going to be closing down.
All of them or just
all
certain
them.
Ones?
All of them.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, who's going to Toys R Us to buy toys anymore? You buy everything
on
Amazon.
But you remember, is it your parents took you to Toys R Us?
Yeah. No. No. I don't think we had.
Yeah,
when
we
I
did.
Was a kid.
It's been 80 years they have Toys R Us.
Oh, yeah. All right. Maybe they did. I don't remember.
I remember Toys R Us. It used to be Sears. You used to get the Sears catalog every September with the Christmas stuff.
You don't remember going into a toy store and playing with toys?
Yeah, but I used to go. There used to be other toy stores. But
no, I don't remember.
There used to be other toy stores, but not Toys R Us.
Toys R Us was very, very big in my life. My mom would take me there. I'd look at G.I. Joe toys.
Dude,
and you're
10 years younger than me.
I understand.
Yeah, the same year.
I understand.
Yeah, but Toys R Us wasn't prevalent in our lives as it was in yours.
Well, I'm talking about how it was prevalent in a lot of people's lives.
Okay,
so they're closing it. But the reason that they're closing it is because Amazon is delivering packages with drones.
That's not the reason why they're
closing it.
The reason they're closing is that competitors such as Walmart and stuff like that and the discounters have been going head-to-head with them and have been beating them at their own game. They've been falling behind with their vendors, and they can't get product into the stores because they're behind on their payments to the vendors, and that was pretty much the death knell.
Is that right?
No, that's not right either.
Oh, nice try, though, Joe.
What happened is 2005, 2006, I don't remember which year. You can look it up. Bain Capital took them over, saddled them with a lot of debt. So even though they're not making what they used to make, they were doing okay. But what's happened is, with all this fucking debt, they keep on falling behind, and they couldn't put the money to improving the store, competing with the Amazons and the Walmarts as far as your drone delivery, your online experience. So they have had to close down. But the reason this was because they got saddled with all this debt, which is what happens when you have these hostile takeovers.
Yeah, but you declare bankruptcy. But here's the thing.
They did declare
my
bankruptcy.
Life does not change one way or another. Neither does yours.
You didn't take kids to Toys R Us?
Yeah, I did, but now I'll just do something else with them if I, you know.
No, but I mean, you're a parent. You have little, well, they're not little anymore, but of that age, I'm sure you or your wife, you know, they took them to Toys R Us to look and see what they wanted.
I don't know if we did that. I don't remember that.
I mean, the internet wasn't that prevalent when
you were. I would go there during Christmas time. That was it. I never really went to Toys R Us. I never said, hey, kids, let's go get toys.
I think a lot of people did it. It was kind of like FAO Schwartz for the suburbs.
Again, let's go back to the fact that it's not going to change my life either way.
No, FAO Schwartz was a totally different experience. FAO Schwartz was very high end, where Toys R Us was not.
Toys R Us owns FAO Schwartz.
Okay, that's great. And GM owns Chevrolet and they own Buick. What's your point?
I don't think they make Buicks anymore.
Toyota owns Lexus.
Oh, that's right. That's what stupid Kevin McConaughey.
He drives a Lincoln.
Oh.
No, he drives a Lincoln. I'd never get in a car with that creep.
He does look fucking creepy on that.
He is creepy. He plays every creepy part there is.
Go and get me the fuck out of here. Don't you want to ride in a Lincoln? No, I'd rather walk than be in a car with you creep.
Yeah, I agree with you there. See?
Yeah.
But, I remember growing up, we had Toys R Us. This might have been just a Jersey thing. We had Child World. Do you remember?
I remember Child World.
We had
I grew up in Jersey City.
Yeah, so you remember Child World, and we had KB Toys.
KB Toys.
Yeah, KB, I remember. KB was also, you know.
That was more in a mall.
Yes.
Well, yeah, more in a mall, a little bit smaller. Didn't offer as much as Toys R Us did.
Right, and KB, they kind of had a small space, so they kind of shoved all the shit in
KB
there.
KB's not around anymore?
No.
Christy went out years ago.
Child World went out probably 10, 15 years ago. KB went out within the past 5-10 years. Toys R Us is going out now. So really,
so what's left?
That's
Toy
my
store.
That's my point. So now you got to go to Target or Walmart or you order online. And what they're saying is, well, a place like Toys R Us would give smaller vendors an opportunity. So like, besides, you always have Hasbro, Mattel. Everybody's gonna, you know, put Hasbro, Mattel in there. But like some offbeat ones, some small ones, Toys R Us would give them space so they could grow. And everything. So you're not going to have that anymore. And I don't think you get the same experience when you're shopping for toys online as you would in the store.
You don't get the same experience as you do with a lot of products. And the problem, one of the things is that everybody is getting stuff off the internet. The brick and mortar stores are having a very big problem. I mean, you know, Anthony Cumia's sister is in retail. It's been retail for years. One of the top retail regional managers for all sorts of different companies, and we had a talk, and a lot of the brick and mortar stores are having a problem competing, especially the ones in the mall, because your per foot costs in a brick and mortar store, you know, is a big part of your overhead, where you're competing against a place that just has a warehouse. So, you know, it's going to be very interesting how it all pans out, how brick and mortar stores have to offer more of an experience than online.
Well, you bring up experience. Joe, you bring up experience. I explained the toy experience. I want to bring up another experience that today's generation doesn't have that we all had. We're all music fans, yes?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
We used to be able to go into a music store,
yeah,
a store where you could listen to an album,
yeah,
before you bought it.
That's
you
correct.
You could buy a T-shirt or a patch of your band and walk
That's
out
right.
of it. They don't have music stores anymore. Whether it was in the mall like a Sam Goody,
and a FYE, right?
FYE was the newer one. Yeah, sure.
Sam Goody
went out several years ago, or even your local music store. It's all gone. And now, coming July, Best Buy isn't selling CDs anymore. They're going to stop selling CDs. So that whole experience of holding music that we all grew up with.
It's going to be all digital downloads.
It's all. Now. I have not cottoned to the digital download.
Me either. I haven't. I think I might have bought 10 songs online ever.
It's 10 more than I ever bought.
Yeah.
I've purchased music online, and I agree with Davin because the experience. And it was the whole experience where the album cover and the inner artwork was as much as much of the album as it was of the music
yeah.
on the album. And it's something that kids won't
ever
experience. And as a musician, I mean, I play an original band, and we're going into the studio next month, and just how we're going to go to market and how we're going to try to get the word out on the music. But the thing about it is sometimes even having a CD as a comic or as a musician is still a good idea, because when you sell that at a show and you sign it, it's like actually a souvenir of the experience you had at the club, whether it was a music club or a comedy club. But also downloads, having a download on your website is also a big part of the picture as well. It's going to be very interesting how entertainers and we're all entertainers in all entertainment medium. We're still all trying to figure this out, how to go to market. Some guys do it very well. Some guys don't do it well, me. It's interesting. It's still a learning curve with all of this.
Well, I don't think this is a good thing. Now, there is something that we can hearten ourselves with. Vinyl has made some sort of comeback.
I'm listening to it. I bought one of those things at Bed Bath & Beyond. It was like
things.
A... The Victrolas.
Okay.
It's called Victrola.
Where you can play like a CD or
you
USB.
You can play a CD. You can do a Bluetooth. You can do everything. But I'm playing my old albums.
You know what the thing about vinyl records is? I don't, and I'm not, you guys know I do it in my act, but I'm not going to do my act. But I'm going to tell you.
Thank God.
Clarity. You see all these young kids, there's nothing like a vinyl record. But the clarity isn't there like a CD. I remember, you guys remember listening to your first like a band that you had the album and you listened to it on the CD the first time.
Yeah.
You there's so many nuances you never heard. I got there was a Genesis album. This is recently. I got Wind and Wuthering. It's a Genesis album on CD about a year or so ago, and I played the grooves off the LP. I'm hearing parts on that CD I never heard years listening to on the album. So I, vinyl records, it's cute, but the clarity is not as good. And
see?
They finally got digital to sound warm. When digital first came out, CDs came out, they sounded very cold, and they finally figured out how to get that analog-style warmth to it. So your vinyl record, it doesn't do anything for me, and I think that, the kids are missing out. Vinyl, I mean, you can listen to it on a CD, but I disagree when you say, there's nothing like the experience. That's not true.
Most people say that a vinyl record... You hear more things on the vinyl record than you do on the CD.
That's what most people say.
Yeah.
But I grew up, as a little kid, I had, records. Like, my mom would buy me stories.
Yeah, the 45s.
But when I started to get into music, I was a cassette type of person. Now, some new
bands... I got cassettes.
So I still listen to them. Yeah. I got a USB cassette. Yeah. I listen to it in the car. Now, some of the newer bands are putting out cassettes, because as Joe said, it's a great way to get your name out, a souvenir. But the question is, is CDs going to go the way... of records, where there's going to be a comeback and people are going to flock back to them? Or are they going to go the way of like the 8-track, where nobody looks back and goes, thank God, that's done?
It depends on the convenience of the technology. 8-tracks were a living federal case. You would listen to a song, you want to hear it again, it's going to be an hour before you can replay
that's
it.
That's right.
It would cut out right in the middle of a song and then fade back in. So that, no, nobody's going to miss. Tapes, we all like tapes. Eventually, sometimes it would oxidize and it would sound that good. CDs are, have always been good. I think CDs will come back because the clarity is there, and you still get artwork in sort of a package, and you can get a link to even more on a band's website.
They're still selling CDs in Walmart. You still see.
They're not selling the amount of CDs that
they're selling the new ones. They're not selling. You can't go
in there and
buy.
Remember going to music stores, and you could go back and find the old albums
and
the rarities? That's not going to be there anymore.
Anymore? It's not there now.
Right.
Joe, do you remember your first CD?
They flat two. And basically, they did an article on those guys in Classic Rock magazine. And I'm not going to find a Clat 2 album ever. Maybe in a record store or something like that. But I was able to go online and get go listen to the two albums that I liked back then, you know. So it's good in some ways and it's bad in other ways where, you know what, yeah, that old album catalog, maybe you can't find it anymore. You can find it online very quick. Some bands, there are some albums that, you know, some bands don't have on the internet, or you know they're tougher to get than others, but it can be found. So there's pros and cons to it. You know, I just, you know, as a musician, marketing, you know, as an original musician, marketing it is a little tricky now. But you're not, you know, but in another sense, because the record companies are starting to go the way of the dodo, there are some independents, like when the CD is done, or however we're going to introduce this music, there are internet companies or internet marketers that are interested in what we, because we heard our music and we just have to get the demos done and stuff like that, but are interested in getting us. And the whole thing is we get it out there. People listen to it on the internet. We'll push it on Facebook. We get people into shows, and we start to grow it that way instead of trying to get a record deal. Having the record company cut us on a tour, you know, halfway because there's no money there. I mean, I got signed to a little bullshit label. Nothing ever came to it. But a couple of the guys I know got signed by labels and went out on tour, and they're in the middle of a tour, and they're like, "Well, we don't have any more money. Guess you guys have to come home." You know, so it's good and bad.
Well, I'm going to tie it back to what Walt said, and Walt didn't even realize that he helped me out. Walt said there's going to be a civil war in this country. I would say part, because nobody gets along anymore. And I would say because we're only exposed to each other online now,
yes,
where nobody has to stand by what they say, and very times we show the worst side of ourselves. I would say that when you take away the toy store where kids and parents can come together and play and try things, when you take away the music store, when people who you might not have ever met or have anything in common with but the love of a certain type of music, when you start taking those things away, we're going to become even more isolated.
Yep.
We're just going to order more stuff online and
never leave the house.
Right. And I don't think we're going to get to what you're saying, Walt, where it's going to be blue versus red. I don't think that's going to happen. But I do think that when we start losing some of these experiences, we are doing ourselves a disservice, and we're heading down a dangerous, non-fulfilling path.
Let me tell you something. You can spend 2 hours in a music store. Sam Goody, for example. You can spend just looking at the T-shirts, the posters, the CDs, the section that had the albums. Any little tchotchke they were selling, you could be in there for 2 hours and literally spend no money.
Right.
And you were fulfilled.
When I was a kid, oh, God, 16 and 17, I worked in my mom's office during the summer down on Wall Street. And every lunch hour, I would run down to this record store, and I would go through – I'd spend my whole lunch hour there going over everything, waiting for payday when I was going to go down and get those albums. And
yeah,
that experience – you know, if you're a music fan, there was nothing like it.
I remember,
you know,
it.
And the kids today, you know, you can't even say kids today don't understand, because a millennial, you know, or a teenager will turn around and go, yeah, but you don't understand going online and checking out these websites and getting all – stuff that we're not aware of. Generational.
Right, but those are so. Now what they would argue is, well, we have a community of online gamers.
Yeah.
We could play with people from all over the world.
Right.
Whereas, like, if we wanted to play video games, you had to invite your neighbor over and play at their house or your house. So they would say that there's the community that way. I would say yes, and that's cool because you do get experience to people from all over the country and all over the
right.
world. But you're still not getting that face to face interaction.
No.
I would agree. Now, here's the thing. Basically, you in agreement that the social skills that we have as a society is waning.
Yes.
But do you feel that at a grassroots thing, or like just an organic thing, that might come back just due to the human element that we all have of interacting with each other?
No, I think if we come back to it, we're going to be tricked into coming back to it. Some company or something, or some industry is going to devise something.
What, to talk to each other?
Yes.
Yeah.
Let me ask you both this. When was the last time you went to a bank?
I go all the time.
You go to a bank?
Yeah, go to the bank.
Why do you go to the bank?
Because I don't trust online.
Okay.
I don't either. Matter of fact, I had that conversation at the bank yesterday.
Okay. They guarantee everything, but I get a direct deposit put into my account. If I get somebody who gives me a check, I don't even have to go there. I just take a picture of it and send it on my online banking. I pay my bills online through online banking. I could pay you check.
You should.
I could pay you and Joe checks through online banking.
Well, Joe's
so
going
I
to Alabama,
never...
so he's going to need you to send that right away.
You want to know something? Well, I'm late to tech, to get to, with technology. However, I have started to pay most of my bills online. As a matter of fact, my mortgage is due in a couple of days, and I really don't feel like going to the bank. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go on the website, just find my password and go on and see if I can transfer funds to pay my mortgage, which will save me a little bit of time.
What kind of mortgage company is allowing you to have a mortgage without an automatic deduct from your account?
Oh, my bank doesn't. No, they don't.
No, Wells Fargo. I sent a check.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, forever.
Listen, that's an argument for technology that you're making. But I would say going to the bank.
I never have to go to the bank.
But I would say going to the bank is not the same as going to a music store or going to a toy store. There's really no experience of going to the bank.
Point is, you don't have to do it. You don't even have to go to the bank anymore. You can just do everything online.
Right. We're becoming more isolated, right. Which is why to say what Joe said, our communication skills are waning. Question, how long is talk shows going to be a thing? Maybe that won't even be a fucking thing anymore.
No.
People won't want to hear people drone on anymore.
You know what? You'd have to find out. You'd have to look at the demo to find out if that's true. You'd have to go to the demo of the several major talk shows that are on now and see what their demo is.
Listen.
And like I said, I'm not making an argument. I don't. It would be interesting to see what that demo is to see if that is starting to be the case. Because if you have people that are viewing, oh, for God's sake, in the 16 or to 18 range, and there's zero there, then that's the way it's.
I can only speak to radio. The radio industry is like the stand-up comedy industry, and you guys know what I mean by that. So things are changing. But anyway, all right, let's take our first break. On the break, we got new music from Strip and Roll with Hide Your Face and Zero UK with 6 O'Clock. And, of course, you can learn more about both those artists at Deuce Music.